praise God. Truly a marvelous God we serve. Just want to have a word of prayer so we can celebrate God through his word. I have all kinds of just wonderful experiences and surprises this morning. It's a blessing to be here, Message of Hope. I'm going to ask for your help as we work through the blessings that God has for us this morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your mercy and for your love. We appreciate, dear God, the opportunity you've given us to celebrate you, dear Lord, through giving, through prayer, through the admonition given to the children, dear Lord, regarding the promises of you, and that, in fact, we are a promise, dear Lord. We are the great possibilities if you are allowed to just reign and rule in our lives. And, dear Lord, we thank you for the celebration of you through song, dear God. And we just thank you for being such an awesome and loving and caring God. So now, dear Lord, we ask that you'll speak to us through your word. As we engage you, dear Lord, through scripture, that the truth is, dear Lord, you want to engage us through your word. So now, dear Lord, I pray that nothing I say, dear Lord, and nothing that I think, dear Father, be conveyed or said this day, but only that of your Son, Jesus the Christ. And dear Lord, I pray you'll remove all distractions and bind the devil, dear Lord, both hand and foot, and move anything, dear Lord, that is unlike you from this place. And allow us to experience you, dear Lord, in your full potency, your goodness. Oh, Lord, I pray now that you would do, dear Lord, what you have designed for this 13th day of April. That you will, dear Lord, preach your word for us to receive and leave here transformed. In the precious name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen and amen. I need to ask for some help this afternoon. And so the help that I need is I need individuals to help me as we examine the word of God together. And so if you don't want to stay to participate in that, I understand. I'm messing with you. I like him a lot. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. Can I have a volunteer to hold that scripture for today? We're going to do about seven of these. I need about seven volunteers just to hold these scriptures. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. Anyone want to hold that for me? Do I have a volunteer right there? Okay. And then I need someone to hold Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30, right there around verse 23. Exodus chapter 30, verse 23. Anyone want to hold that for me? Do I have a hand? I see the hand. Thank you so much, my brother. Then if we could have someone who's willing to hold on to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. I see it. Where are we going? Which Tracy? Okay, that one. Okay, gotcha. I had three of them put their hands up. And so Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, you have that. Make sure you remember your verse. And then if I can have someone who can hold Daniel chapter 5, right there, verses 3 through about 6. Got that. Thank you so much. And then if we can have someone for Joel chapter 2 and verse 23. Joel, got perfect. Thank you. And then if someone can hold on to Matthew chapter 1, right there, right around verse 17. Matthew chapter 1, perfect. Thank you so much, Lindsay. And then if we can have someone who would be willing to hold on to Revelation chapter 22, there around verse 17. Revelation chapter 22. Right around verse 17. I thought you had perfect. Thank you so much. You guys are awesome. Matthew chapter 1. Who had Matthew chapter 1? Verse 8. Okay. Not now, but just I gave you the incorrect verse earlier. It's going to be verse 8. And I think that was 7. Do we have 7? How many people do we have? We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Did I have one more? Did you raise your hand? No? You did, but you, okay. So who has Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27? That's you. Exodus chapter 30, verses 26 through 30. Who did I get? Perfect. Thank you so much. Daniel chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Perfect. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Okay, and then Joel chapter 2, verse 23. And then Matthew chapter 1, verse 8. We fixed that, right? Okay, perfect. And Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. Is that the one I was missing? I guess I'll thank you so very much. I may drop a bonus for you just for volunteering last minute. It'd be same book, but chapter 1, okay? And right around verse 1 into verse 2 at the most, if you don't mind, okay? You may just want to acquaint your finger with that area in case we do come to that. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27 will be our focus text for today. Then we're going to move through. We're not going to be long today based on what I'm saying, but this is just, you know, it's up to you because you guys have the verses, right? And so if I can, is it possible that I can get one microphone just to hit each verse so that those online won't be lost with respect to what's going on? So I'm going to, any mic? Anyone. We're going to go green, okay? And I'm going to do this because no one else is going to help me. I'm just going to do it on my own. Here you go. If you could just hold on to that. And then so what we're going to do is Daniel. But if you could read Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. This is our focus for the day, okay? And if you can, at the end of it, there is about maybe 3 words. I want you to make sure you run that home with some oomph. So I know you have the baritone, but if you could put the bass on for the last 3 words, okay? My brother, appreciate you, Daniel. That's homegrown right there, by the way. That's Palm Beach County in the house. Let me hear you. I don't care where you move to.
It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil.
Read that one more time, last 5 verse, please, with some oomph, but go ahead and read the "it shall come to pass" part so they can understand what's taking place first.
It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil.
Praise God, praise God. We're talking about April showers this morning, April showers, or shall I say this afternoon, because when we get done in the afternoon, they're going to say he preached from morning till afternoon, but we started in the afternoon, right? And the Bible says there in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, he's going to remove a burden, and he's going to break a yoke, and it's going to be because of the anointing oil, right? Because of the anointing oil. Now, we all know the old adage says what? April showers bring May flowers, right? April showers. We're dealing with that today. So I want us now to turn our focus to something that happens. But before we can get to our main narrative of the day, we have to take a look at Exodus chapter 30, because Exodus chapter 30 gives us a backdrop into Daniel chapter 5. So who had Exodus chapter 30? Where was that? Ricky, thank you so much. I'm going to run over to you because no one's helping. No one's helping me. I'm just going to run across the camera. There you go. If you could take that. That's Akil, are you getting up? Look at you. I tell you what, boy, you know what? The Lord just provides himself a sacrifice, won't he? The Lord will. Right there in the old, he said he'll do it. He'll do it. He'll do it. You're good. You're good. You can stay on the altar. You can stay on the altar, Isaac. That's fine. We have a sacrifice. Exodus chapter 30, if you can take a look there in verse, what was that, 23?
Mm-hmm.
26. 26, yeah. Exodus chapter 30, if we can get there. Perfect, thank you. 26.
And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony.
Keep going, please.
And the table and all his vessels, and the candlesticks and his vessels, and the altar of incense.
Keep going, please. There's a comma, so I can't. I'm sorry, I would stop, but I can't.
And the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, and the laver.
The laver.
The laver at his foot.
Go ahead and do 29. I think they want you to read that based on what I'm hearing.
And thou shalt sanctify them,
yes,
and they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy.
Ah, keep going, please. Keep going.
And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office.
Right there. Stay there for 1 second. Let's go back to verse 26. Now, remember verse 30. Go back to 26 And if you could read that one more time.
And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony.
Stop right there. There's a comma. We're going to stop for a moment. So this is God speaking to Moses about what Moses is supposed to do with the sanctuary, the tabernacle, if you will. And he's telling him to anoint the tabernacle with this oil. Now, if you read in the preceding verses, he actually tells Moses how to make the oil. It's a special blend, right? And he tells him to make the anointing oil. Then he says, take that oil that you made, right, according to my instruction, and now take all the stuff that I told you to make for my sanctuary, for my home, that I may dwell among you. Exodus chapter 25, verse 8. I didn't give anyone that. I'm keeping it for myself, right? And he says, let them build me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. But he tells them, when you build it, I need you to anoint it. This is some stuff. After you anoint the sanctuary or the tabernacle, anoint the stuff in it. Anoint all the vessels, anoint the furniture, anoint everything inside my house so I can dwell among you. And he says, because whatever you anoint shall be holy. Watch this now. And whoever touches it, right, they'll be holy. So then go ahead, after you get done anointing everything in there that's inanimate, go grab Aaron, who's going to serve me there, and grab his sons, Nadab and Abihu. We'll talk about them another day, another time. Can't even bring it up right now. But anoint them as well, and anoint the clothes they have on. Anoint them from head and make it run on down. You can read in the Psalms. David breaks it down. He says, when Aaron was anointed, it dripped down into his beard and upon his clothes. In other words, pour out the oil. Don't hold back on the oil. Pour it out. And you said, I didn't say it, but you said that because of the anointing, burdens are removed and the yoke is broken. God said in Exodus, because it's my house, it shall be called holy. But before you call it holy, it needs some anointing. Ricky said that. So now let's get to Daniel chapter 5. Who is that? Thank you so much, Tracy.
His wives and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. In the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened and his knees knocked against each other.
This is so powerful because you all just read, not me, Ricky did it, and it was on the screen, that God said, everything in my house is holy. God says, anyone who touches it or whatever shall be holy. Then all of a sudden, I didn't even give this verse. It was a bonus that I kept for myself. Another chapter 1. In Daniel chapter 1, it says Nebuchadnezzar goes down in the third year of King Jehoiakim's reign, right? And he says that he plunders Jerusalem, and he sacks the city, and he takes all of the vessels out of the house of God and puts them into the house of his own God and leaves them there. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar put the stuff that Israel is supposed to cherish with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might, and he put it in his house that he cherished with all his soul, with all his heart, and with all his might. Understand what Nebuchadnezzar did? Nebuchadnezzar applied the principle of keeping something holy and set apart to God's stuff, and he put it away, and he locked it up and left it. Daniel chapter 1. Here comes dumb grandson. Dumb grandson, I don't know the nickname he had. They call him Belshazzar, but I think he had a different name. And you know, everybody got a little name in the house. Scoot, you know, they just call you some stuff. Scoot scat, you know. So I just call him dumb grandson, right? Dumb grandson decides he's going to have a party. Now, in Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar has just had a dream. He had an experience with God, and Nebuchadnezzar writes one of the most powerful psalms you will find in Daniel chapter 4. He lifts God's name on high. He says God sets up kings, he removes them, sets up empires. Nebuchadnezzar converted, and the last words of King Nebuchadnezzar, all praise due to God. Then here comes dumb-dumb grandson. Or grandson dum-dum. Grandson dum-dum decides to throw a party. When he throws this party, according to what Tracy read, he ends up sitting down with his wives and his side pieces. You think today's reality shows are weird? This real talk, this is not sister wives. Straight up wives and concubines, he throws a party and they are getting lit. They're drinking, they're doing some stuff we can't even write down right now. I don't even know how they did it back then, but they did it. And he gets so intoxicated. He is literally intoxicated, but I want you to understand, this is very important, they are literally engaged in a worship service. How do you know? That's what Tracy said when she read the verse. It says that they were worshiping their gods. I want you to understand that every time you go, oh, we're gonna meet up real quick, we're gonna do a little, it's a form of worship. Sounds weird, right? Just gonna go hang out for this. It's worship. The Bible says they literally were worshiping. Now, you may say, well, I didn't hear about anyone praying. I didn't hear it about anyone kneeling down. The Bible says they were worshiping their gods, but the only thing it gave us as it relates to their worship tactics or their worship liturgy is the fact that they were drinking up something, partying up something real good. That was the worship. Not me. That's what the Bible, that's, Trace, do you mind giving her the mic one more time? Because they're looking at me like I just made something. Can you read that for me one more time, please, Tracy?
They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. Keep going.
Yes, please.
In the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote.
So the king, they're already drinking. I'm sorry. You can hold it one more. I'm sorry. He's trying to take it. I don't know why he wants to get that from you so badly. Tracy, I'm messing with you. If you could read the preceding verse, what you just, what you started with respect to when they drank. Can you read the preceding verse, please?
Then they brought the gold vessels.
Stop for one second. So this is not just a willy-nilly move. This is not just someone getting up saying, you know what? We just need some more cups. Let's get some red solos. This is not that. I want you to see can you read verse 2? Verse 2 tells us what happened. Let's go read verse 2.
While he tasted the wine.
Who, and this is dumb grandson.
Belshazzar.
There you go.
Gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels.
That right there.
Which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple.
Yeah.
Which had been in Jerusalem.
Yeah, huh?
And the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them.
He commanded that they go get. This is demonic. He's literally drunk out of his mind, and something tells him, bruh, let's not just drink. Let's drink out that stuff that granddaddy wouldn't touch. Yeah, bruh, let's get that. Hey, and he didn't just say, what do you guys think about? He commanded, I stand before you today, King Dum-Dum. And I tell you now, and I bid you do it certain. I don't know how they spoke back then. You shall bring forth the gold vessels that were taken from the temple by my granddaddy, who started praising a different God. You know how angry the devil was when Nebuchadnezzar wrapped his life up with Jesus? You know how angry the devil was? And so dumb grandson says, Diam, dumb grandson, first of his name, last of this cause. And I command that you bring forth the vessels that came out of Jerusalem that have been anointed, that have been set apart, that have been called holy And the Bible says as he's drinking, he was already lit, but he didn't see a man's hand. But when he drank from this particular vessel, as he touched it and drank it, he saw something holy. You got to get this. You got to get this. You got to get this. As he is drinking from this particular vessel, he sees something moving that he had not seen before through the lens of intoxication. Now he's seen through the lens of holy. Now, why is that so heavy? Because much of the Christian experience is built around telling you that you will not have an encounter with God unless you're living right. Feel funny, right? This feels real uncomfortable right now. Especially the long pause between explaining what I just said. Because you kind of want, is he going to explain it or just kind of like leave it there? And I got to go talk to my pastor. Because he came late anyway. I'm not even sure if he read the whole text. You said explain it. Who has Genesis chapter 1 verse 2? Who has that? Is that you, young man? Ricky. Okay. No, that's fine. I got this one. Let me into the top. Project like baritone.
Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths. And the Spirit of God was hovering all over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light.
That's verse 3, right? Read verse 2 one more time and put something on it. All right? That little oomph on it, okay?
Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters.
Thank you. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2 says that the earth had no form. King James Version says it's void, empty, right? And that the Spirit of God is hovering. The King James Version says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. Now, message of hope, if the Spirit of God only encounters those who are living right, why is the Spirit of God moving upon empty darkness where there's nothing? Because God, if you saw the young man, he got happy and began to go into verse 3. And God is getting ready to do something. And anytime God is getting ready to do something, his power begins to move. And when God's power moves, he hovers over not just a person, but over the thing. You didn't get that. You didn't get that. You didn't get. Am I jumping ahead? I think I'm jumping ahead. Watch what God does. You ask God to be with you today on the job. You ask God to be with you today in that class. If you really want God to move, you don't want God to just hover over you. You need God to go into the meeting. I get it. I get it. None of you have been brought up on charges before. Let me speak from experience. When you need God to move in a courtroom, you don't want God to move on you. You already had your moment of conversion. After you caught the charge, you go, Lord, I'll never do it again. Jesus, get me out. Right? That's your conversion. Now you're going into court. You need the judge to be moved. You need the prosecutor to be moved. You need the bailiff to be moved. You need your attorney. PD or private, to be hovered over and moved. Why? The situation is now out of your. And so God says, I hover over darkness. Yes, Jesus. I hover over emptiness. Thank you, Lord. I hover over the waters of the deep. In other words, I hover over people. When you move into prophecy and begin to study this thing, you recognize that water represents people. So when you have a situation, you don't ask God just to hover over you. You ask God to hover and move over the situation. Got a jacked up marriage? Don't just hover over your spouse. Because something tells me that if it's a jacked up marriage, you need some hovering too. Hover over the marriage. God is awesome. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 5 for a second. Watch this. Daniel's there. We all know about the captivity. Maybe not, but I'll just tell you, take my word for it, and you go back and read Daniel chapter 1. It's captivity. Daniel's there. And while Daniel is there in captivity, grandson Dum Dum is there. And he's getting ready to not even just apostasy based upon his heathen worship, but he's getting ready to integrate God in some foolishness. There are some Christians who integrate God into some foolishness. You know them private Bible studies that one preacher does? Oh, I'm so sincere with this here. You have to be careful. The very ones who sit up here in that little suit jacket, decide to go into Titleist, want to be cool with some little, you know, gym shoes on. Watch them. The Bible, Paul tells you, they creep up into women's homes. Those are the ones who sit down. I was going to pray with you. I just came by to pray. If you are that concerned about prayer, stay in your closet. In your closet. Don't go to her closet. Don't go to his closet. Stay in your closet. Because Jesus says, and he will bless publicly. There's no need for you to go up in her closet. Stay out of people's closets. You don't need to have no Bible study over that little round table in their room. You got Zoom for that. Zoom. Click on, and if you got a little free version, 40 minutes. That's all you need, 40 minutes. People use Christianity and their Christian journey as a way to pervert the good news. Be careful with that. Daniel's there in captivity, and God has his vessels. God's vessels are in captivity, and grandson Dum Dum decides to touch the anointed. And when touching that anointed stuff with his wives and concubines, God writes out a message and lets him know, you've been weighed, you've been found wanting, and tonight, this very day, the kingdom is going to be taken from you. And that very night, while he was intoxicated, he died. And the Babylonian Empire was no more. Why are we talking about this? Talking about the anointing and how it breaks yokes. The vessels that God had while in captivity were now being brought into a form of worship that God did not approve of. And in that very moment, God says, I need to break the yoke. Let me move on. I'll get caught here and we won't go home. I want to just pause there for a moment. And I want you to understand, as Moses was anointing the sanctuary and all the vessels, it was symbolic. It was symbolic. That oil, that special mix, it was symbolic of the Holy Spirit's presence in the house of God. It was symbolic about all of those vessels being used by God and the Holy Spirit covering them. God covers his stuff, not just vessels that are inanimate, but vessels that move for him. God covers you. And when God covers you, the covering is there so that when you encounter opposition, not only are you covered, but your situation is also covered. Can I give you a quick story? Okay, here we go. Saturday evening, I took a brief trip down south with my entire family. I dropped one family member off at a little soccer match. Apparently, Lionel Messi was playing. Did I pronounce that correctly? Is it Lionel? Yeah, I did that. Okay, won't do it again. And so we are down south. I drop one little boy off to go watch the game. And here I am with the rest of my family. And it's nighttime. And we are waiting for the match to be done. That's what they call a match. And we're waiting for the match to conclude. And while we are there, We are we get word it has finished. It was a draw. That's right. It was a draw. And so now we're waiting for to meet up. We meet up. I retrieve my youngest bundle. And as I retrieve my youngest bundle, we get in the vehicle, and now we are heading home, FCAT. We're heading home. And so, they're hungry. So, okay, fine. I'm going to get you something to eat. So we're heading home, and somehow, some way, I turn some way, Xavier, and I hit something, run over something, and I puncture my tire. And I hear is clunk, 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 clunk. I hear something. And then I hear, and I'm like, something's off, right? And I hear something. So I bring up the little display, and it tells me that I am losing pounds of air. I'm losing pounds per square inch of air at a rapid rate. So I pull over, I get out the vehicle, and I look, and sure enough, I see this like apparatus that has a nail going through it, and also some kind of a green plastic piece, and it's on my tire and in my tire. And I'm like, man, this is not good. So my thing is this, I don't have a spare. Yeah. Number two, I can't even change it if I want to because I don't have a puck. I need a special puck to change the tire. I don't have any, right? And because I don't have there's no need to get a puck if you don't have a tire. They want too much money for a spare. I'm just be honest with each right now, Rick. Just me and you. Forget the cameras, right? And so I'm like, well, now I gotta get a tow truck, but where am I gonna put my family of four with this tow truck? Right? I'm not trying to pay for a tow truck and an Uber and be tight in the back, going home, trying to hope so they're not dragging, just all of it. So I said, here's what I do have. I have a pump in the car. I will pump the tire up and make a run for it. I got real back to my roots, right? I have about a 45-minute drive on good tires. Man, I'm jumping in the car. Let's go. And my wife decides it's a great time for a photo. And so it's a great time for a photo because the young bundle say, take a picture of it. Take a picture of it. And you know, for me, just so you understand, I have what they call black man nervousness. Black man nervousness, if you haven't seen it, is where we don't express nervousness in the sense of, oh my goodness, I'm so nervous, what's going to happen next? Anxiety. We just get angry, right? And so I'm trying to wrestle against my nervousness. And so I'm there and I'm like, let's go. Because I'm, shh. That's all I'm hearing. Shh. I'm not exaggerating. It's loud, right? It's a huge hole. And and I'm just watching it. 29, 27, it's, right? I'm trying to, so I jump in the car. Finally, the pictures are all over. Click, 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 proper flash, portrait mode, all that foolishness, right? And so back in the vehicle, and I just jump in, and I, these are the famous last words right here. I want to catch these last words. Those few seconds is not going to cause an issue with the tire, right? That's what I heard. That's what I heard. But my brother, I'm working on my nervousness, okay? And so I don't say a word, because all I'm saying is, in a few moments, she's going to see what those few seconds just costed us, right? And so here I am. I'm in the vehicle, and I'm driving Xavier, and I'm punching this thing, right? And I'm, because my thing is, I need to preserve as much air as possible, and I'm jumping. I'm trying to get to the turnpike. Because I figure if I'm on a turnpike, I can hit this thing, preserve as much air as possible. But what's happening, Ricky, is a little apparatus that was once outside of the tire, every rotation, it's going deeper and deeper. So the pounds of air per square inch that were coming out at maybe a rate of maybe, two every 5 minutes, is kicking up now, 3, 4, 5 every minute or so. I'm on the pike getting it. I'm going. And that noise is going, tss. Finally, I pull over. Now, granted, a few months back, we had a dear friend of the family who's on the side of the road changing his tire, and some motorist came up, hit him, and broke mostly all kinds of bones everywhere. Ended up in a hospital, could have been dead, flipped him over the whole nine. So I am contemplating his life, and I don't want that for my life. As I stand here before you, God is kind. I pull over on Turnpike, and now I have to now pump the tire up again. And I'm pumping it, and I'm outside, I'm looking for these cars. They're coming, boy. You know what I mean? Whenever you outside your car, and they come, yeah, they take you, right? They take you. So I'm outside. I'm not saying a word about the picture. Are you following me? I'm not saying one word about it. I'm not saying nothing. I'm just looking strange in the face. Right? I'm looking strange. I'm not saying a word. And I'm there, and I'm watching the pounds of air as it's going in, and it's not going in as quickly as it was before. It's not holding it. It's not retaining it. And all I hear every time the air is going out, it's coming out. I had to stop about four or five times before getting home, pumping, going home, right? And I finally get home. Granted, they're still hungry. They're eating. I've gone online to check the tire store. They're closed on Sunday. So Sunday, the car is just doing a straight up lean. Just like that. Hold it. It's flat. I'm talking about pancake flat. You know, sometimes you get a little flat, take a little time to go. It's flat, flat. Monday morning, get up, and finally I had an appointment to get to the store. And I had to make a run to the store. Same process. I'm not trying to get a tow truck. I'm not trying to. I just stopped about two times on the way to the tire store. Not that far out. I went back to my roots, right? That's the right. And so I finally get to the tire store. As I pull up, they look. You ever have a tire store look at you like this when you pull up? So I had that moment. They're all staring, and I already know what they're gonna try and do. Oh, sir, I don't know if they're gonna be right. All I want is a patch. Why would you laugh at that? Like, that's a reasonable, isn't that a reasonable expectation? No one ever got a patch before? They outlawed plugs, you know, a patch, right? Okay, whatever, tire expert, okay, fine, right? And so I pull up, I just want a patch, but I'm also contemplating the fact that the puncture is close to the side wall, right? And I'm like, man, they're going to start tripping, right? They're going to try and get me to pay the full, right? But I'm keeping my cool. I go in, I meet my boy, hey, man, what's going on? Hey, and I try to be real friendly and just joke. Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I just need a patch. Oh, yeah, all right, fine. Pull up in bay one. He runs out, and this is where I should have known something was going on. He told me to pull up in bay one, and then he runs outside. I don't even know, matter of fact, pull up in the other bay all the way down. Why be changing? So I pull up in the other one, and he pulls in, and he's a real nice guy, and he says to me, I said, yeah, man, you know, if you just get a patch. Yeah, it's fine. You know what I'm going to tell you, right? And I'm looking at him, and I'm doing my broke look. You ever have a broke look? It's my, like, 24/7 look. I just had a broke look. Just, huh? Yeah, we won't be able to patch the tire. Mr. Tire Expert already knows why, right? It's so close to the side wall. It's just, we're not going to be able to repair that. Because if you turn a corner, it starts explaining all these technical terms. If you turn a corner, Tracy, it's going to pop out, and we're going to be like, we just want you to be safe. Here, and he put this on me. You know you want to be safe for your family. Right? So he says, okay, so we get a new tire. I say, okay, fine. You know, I don't say fine, but I'm accepting where I am at this point. I go inside, and he's on a computer. You ever be at a tire store? They I don't know how they type so fast at a tire store. They type fast. Little greasy fingers. Gets done, and here's where I knew something was wrong. I don't want to see it. Let's just have a conversation. Okay, so the tire is 560, one tire. But what I'm going to do for you, because we have a special, I'm making it sound like you're buying two. And we'll take off $166. So I'm like, okay, so 400, okay, But when you are broke like me, you don't necessarily take the first price. I had something brewing in the back of my mind. I just ain't bring it up yet. So you gotta know when to bring it up. Let me see your bottom number, and then I'm gonna start negotiating my number. I said, oh, what about if you purchase the protection plan? Yeah, I was gonna say, if you purchase a protection plan, we could cover the tire. Yeah, I did that though. A few months back.
Really? What? Hey, you did. You got it right here. I didn't know it covered more than just a patch. He says, we'll get you a new tire. It's covered. He said it's covered. All you have to do, and they still get you. All you have to do is pay, and it literally came out to about 10% of what I thought I would have to pay before getting there. I had priced him about $800, but it came to about a tithe amount. You don't hear, right? And so what I did was, he said, but you have to give me some time. I don't have the tire. I can't drive this thing no more. You already see what's happening. I'm leaving black streets everywhere I go. He said, no, I can get it for you today. I just have to have it couriered over. Can you give me a few hours? Well, sure I can, Devon. I said, what do you like to eat for lunch? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. It's all right. That's cool. I left the vehicle at the store, and I took myself away from the store. Because sometimes when the blessing's happening, you need to go get out. That's what Solomon and them did. When Solomon was praising and dedicating the temple, they got out. When God came up with the blessing, they got out. So I ran out, took my little pouch down the street. Told Amber, pick me up, but not at the store. Meet me down the road somewhere. I'm just walking, Daniel, just walking. And I picked the vehicle up, new tire, because the vehicle was covered. The anointing, or because of the anointing, it removes the burdens and breaks the yoke. Let's move. Daniel chapter 5. Who has Joel chapter 2? Joel, FCAT, give it to me.
Okay. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month.
Now, understand, when it talks about that first month, we call it April. It's the spring, it's the beginning of the spring, that rain, that latter rain that God is going to pour out. It comes in the springtime. That's why we oftentimes say April showers. Woo. It says that he who calls the former rain, and the former rain, that's that autumn rain that comes, but that spring rain, woo, it pours out in abundance and it gets ready for the harvest. So when we say April showers bring May flowers, we're actually going back to Joel chapter 2, where it talks about the harvest of God. And what he's using the rain to symbolize is the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Such a powerful experience Joel is talking about. This is the very scripture that Peter makes reference to in the book of Acts. On the day of Pentecost, while they are there in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit comes through like a freight train and pours out upon all those who are there, and they begin to hear people speak in different languages, but they understand it in their own tongue. The Bible says, Peter gets up and says, this is what Joel the prophet spoke about, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Joel chapter 2, verse 23. Now let's move. Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to show you what the power does, what God's anointing does. Matthew chapter 1. Lindsay, hit us up, please.
Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Jerom. And Jerom begot Uzziah.
Can you keep going, please?
Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz. And Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh, Manasseh begot Amon, and Amon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah, and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon.
Okay, I'm going to stop you for right there. And you're going to be a little bothered by me. You're reading verse 8, as you should have. Mm-hmm. 18. But that's good stuff. We know how he got here. That's right. We need to know how he got here. You know what I'm saying? The lineage, 14 generations from David, 14 generations. All right. So there we go. 14. Thank you so much for 14, 14, 14, 42. There we go. And 18. Yes.
Fast forward.
Yes.
Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit.
I want you to catch what just happened. We talked about the anointing of vessels, right? Set apart, and they're called holy unto the Lord. Now we see when Mary conceived, all that happened was the Holy Spirit moved inside. In Luke, he gives this example. He says, when Mary says, well, how will this be? How will I have a child seeing I've never been with a man? And the Bible says, as Gabriel's explaining, he says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Almighty will overshadow you. In other words, the power of the Holy Spirit, it is such a powerful thing that God gives you power to handle the power. When Mary was conceived with Jesus Christ, the Bible lets you know that it was a power of the Holy Spirit to bring forth life. That's why in the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it says the Holy Spirit hovered over. Why? It's about to bring forth life. It is the same experience. You see the power of the Holy Spirit moving, right? Talking about anointing, anointing, anointing. Woo, I wish I had some more time on that. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Thank you so much. Now, let's move. And we're getting ready to wrap up. Getting ready to wrap this up. We had 1. We had 2. We had 3. We had 4 and 5. We had 6. And now we're going to 7. My dear sister, Revelation chapter 22. Now, I'm going to ask you. I told you about a bonus verse. And you seemed okay with it. You seemed okay with it. And I believe based upon your neighbors, you have some support if you need it, okay? If you need help with chapter 1, right, and you want to take a look, it's up to you. Again, this is strictly up to you. You can say no, and you can decline it if you so choose, okay? There is absolutely no pressure. I want you to just take a look at verse 10, if you want, because your assignment is chapter 22. But if you want to take a look at chapter 1, verse 10, that's entirely up to you. Your assignment is chapter 22, verse 17. If you want bonus, it's on you. No pressure.
Chapter 1, verse 10.
Oh, okay, sure.
Okay. I was in the Spirit.
Oh, I'm sorry. One more time.
I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea.
So, you start off by saying, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Yes. Is there anyone here who can testify that you are in your anointing today? John had been banished to an island for preaching and upholding the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in the midst of his trial, here we go, in the midst of his tribulation, he says, I'm in my anointing. Remember the vessels that were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar? They were still in their anointing. Remember they were trapped up in a house of a God that was not their own? They were still in the anointing. Many of us are trapped in situations, and God says, even though you are in a situation that is not ideal, you are still my anointed, and you are still in your anointing. This is still your season, and you will bring forth fruit in your season. I plant you next to a river of water. Woo! And your roots are drawing from the river of life. God says you are anointed. And John says, in the midst of burning oil, in the midst of sores all over his body, in the midst of solitude and having no one to turn to, the last living disciple, the last living apostle, John says he saw his brother get murdered. John says, I am anointed. And I'm in my anointing on the Lord's day. And because I was in my anointing on the Lord's day, I heard a voice. Woo! It sounded like a voice of many trumpets, but chapter 22, verse 17, your assignment. What does it say there? Because there's something about, Tracy, you talked about promises. You talked about promises. And there's something here in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. What does the Bible say?
And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Woo. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely.
And your anointing says come. The Holy Spirit anointing says come. Are you thirsty? Come. It says the Spirit and the bride. The bride is the church. The bride are those that God says, let me build a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, that my people can be with me and I could be with my people. Watch what God does. And I've anointed them with special oil, a special blend. And after I've anointed them, they in unison with the anointer say, come. Because even in the midst of your trial, you recognize April showers. Bring Mayflowers. There is nothing that God won't do in your life in the midst of your adversity. I was grieved when I heard the news about what happened outside, just a few feet from this place of worship. I was grieved when I watched the video. And all I'm praying for is that young girl was covered by the anointing. Because no matter what they do to you, if you're anointed, it's not your end. As a matter of fact, I truly believe that in the anointing, when they do all manner of wickedness against you, you will count it all joy. And it won't bring the pain that it brings for those who step out of the anointing. Because you're covered. I'm closing now. Thank you. Ever since I was a child, and I didn't grow up in a house that was a Seventh-day Adventist Christian home, I want you to understand that. Neither of my parents were members of a church, let alone even offered an office. And so, but I remember as a child, I would read stories about David. And the thing that blew me away about David was that the Bible says from a child, he received anointing. And they anointed him before his brethren. They didn't like him a whole lot. They anointed him in front of his father, who didn't even consider him to call him over to have dinner. But he was anointed in their presence. And even he wrote about it. He says, and even now let my head be lifted up above my enemies that are round about me. And with that anointing, watch me closely on this. I want you to understand, as a child, I recognize that David made some terrible mistakes. He murdered a man to cover up his mess. I'm going to say something that's real controversial. Yet he was anointed. Are you with me? And so as a child, when I read that, all I could think about Daniel was, you know what? No matter what I do, if I'm anointed, I can find my way back and I'll be covered. No matter what punctures my life, Xavier, I'm covered. And so I kept going to my mother and I asked her as a child, anoint me. You got to get this. She wasn't baptized. She didn't have any credentials in the church. But I was mama and I just needed anointing. And I kept asking her, anoint me. And she kind of took it like, oh, okay. Keep reading, it's nice. But I wouldn't stop it. I need anointing. And that thing has traveled with me all my days. So when I talk about a court case, I was anointed. When I talk about the fact that they tried to kill me over at Pompeii, shot me up a couple times. Gun right there, where he at, on the piano. Shooting. And 1,000 by my left side and 10,000 by my right, but none shall come nigh thy dwelling. I was anointed. And the anointing, it takes away the burden and it breaks the yoke. And so, all the mess I've done, even in the midst of my mess, the anointing. So when I move into a home, I go back to Exodus chapter 30, because I want God to dwell there, and I anoint the home. This is just me. I'm not telling anyone else to do what you don't do. But this is just me. I walk through every room and I get anointing oil. And I take that vial of oil and I dedicate it to the Lord's holy purpose. There's nothing special about the oil. I'm just going through this because I want God to do something through this. And I don't use the oil later on for moisturizer. It's set apart. And I go through every room and I anoint. And when Amber was pregnant, with those little children, I went to her stomach and I got some anointing oil. And I anointed in utero. Because I just believe, put the anointing. Anoint the stuff that you want to belong to God, that you want God to have power over. So this past Sabbath, I was driving home, and I want you to understand that in 2015, I went online and I found a place that sold the anointing oil that's mixed in accordance with Exodus chapter 30. It's the same blend proportionately as what they give you in Exodus chapter 30. So I bought that oil. And when I purchased the oil, it came in a little vial like this, 2015. And the reason I purchased the oil is because I had just had the first one. And I was having a pastor come to the house to do anointing over him. And when he came to the house, I had the little vial of oil. And I was so happy, Lindsay. And I gave him a little oil and I told him about it. He said, okay. And he anointed Omega. Prayed over him, and then we sat down and we ate. Anointing. Then, a couple years later, I come to this church in December 2016. And I invited the same pastor. And we came that evening, and I had the second one, the second little bundle, and had him standing or held right here on this stage. And the same pastor came over and he anointed with the same oil, same vial. Beginning of every school year, FCAT, we have anointing service. You're sick? I can't do anything for you. All I can do is pray and anoint you. You got some mess going on in your life? That same vial. So I said, I need to anoint this house last week. This vial is not going to get it. I need to purchase some oil. And I wasn't going to use that vial. I was just trying to find an old-fashioned Pompeian extra virgin olive oil. Couldn't get it locally anywhere. So I go back online to the site, and I found it, and I was trying to buy the oil, but I wasn't going to get it in time, Ricky. So I told Amber, I said, we're going to have to put off the anointing service. And she said, why? When you use what you have, I said, it's not enough. There's not enough oil left in it. I've been 2015, you know what I mean? But something told me that morning, you know what, just go ahead and grab what you got. And I'm not trying to put any emphasis on the oil, but when my pastor told me that he was diagnosed with cancer and he was going through chemo and radiation and had to go through surgery, I took the same vial of oil, went to his office, and I anointed him and we prayed over him. And one day he'll come and give you his testimony if he's still alive. And he's cancer-free. And so I knew the oil has been used, FCAT. We've used the oil. So I just knew the oil was not going to last. And so it's not going to, but we took the oil on this past Sabbath. Went to the house, Sister Sterling. And as I went through each room, we began to lift up the different psalms. And we began anointing doorposts. You don't hear me. We began anointing walls and walking through the, because I need this house to be his house. And I did not plan. I did not make a mental note. But after we got done doing all the anointing, I didn't explain that we don't have much oil to the boys. I just kept that to myself. I never checked the level while we were anointing. I just anointed. The young one, the young bundle, says to me, Daddy, can I anoint you? Now, there may be some conjecture as to whether he just wanted some oil. But I know I needed anointing. Like Aaron and his son. And I said, yeah, you anoint me. And I'll anoint you. I didn't anoint him, did I? Who'd you anoint, Omega? Mommy. Y'all sort that out later. We went through and we anointed one another while reading the Psalms. And I want you to understand, this is not a picture-perfect family. I want you to say, everything's just right. That's why we need anointing. Are you following me? There's a reason why I needed anointing from a young age. And when we were done anointing, I looked at the vial, and the oil stayed. I still have leftover in the vial. I think the lesson here is there's no end in God's anointing. I had to learn that it wasn't about the purchase. It was about the anointed one taking care of the anointing. And so I was reading this article, and this thing really got me because I was debating about this idea of public anointing, and it was very restrictive. It was very closed off, and saying you should not have public anointing services. And I was just really conflicted over this thing because I really do like the source, but I'm looking at this thing, and I'm saying to myself, I remember when I was diagnosed with some stuff. And it just so happened they had in the public anointing service at a church where they asked me to speak a certain segment. And the pastor, because they had a public anointing service, I went and I received that anointing, Tracy. And I'm still here. So I don't know about the person who wrote the article. I can't speak to their acumen and how much research they've done. I can only speak about my experience. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that the anointing breaks the yoke. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're going through. But what I do know is that when God pours out his showers of his anointing over your life and over your situation, it's not just on you. God pours it out on everything around you. Because that's what gives you deliverance. So we're closing. I don't know if you have someone on your job that needs some power in their life. Let me be clear. Does anyone have any opposition or opposes who they work with? Anyone have demonic forces that they work with? I have some. I'm talking about demons, straight up, just demons in human flesh. Have them encounter the power of the anointing. Anoint your situation and watch God move. In Genesis chapter 1, the first personality we are encountering is the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it goes to introduce the first person. It says the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. The one we are very confused about. We keep thinking it's just a dove. It's power. Power from God. If there's anyone who needs power from God in their life, I'm going to invite you to stand. We're getting ready to close. You need power over someone you love. Not you need power, but you need power of God over someone's life who you love. You need the power of God to just overshadow them and to take full control of their life. If that is your desire, I'm going to ask you to stand. If you need power in your own life, you're asking God for his anointing. You need something broken up. You need something removed out of your life. I'm going to ask you to stand. If you need something to be taken away from your life, you need something to be put into your life. You have a situation at school. You have a situation with a loved one. Whatever that thing may be, you're asking for the anointing of God. And I assure you that you will see God's hand moving. And anyone who opposes God's work in your life will also see God's hand moving in your life like Grandson Dum Dum. There's something about the moving of God and the power that he has. The anointing oil is representative of the Holy Spirit's power over the things in your life. There may be someone who wants to just say, Lord, I want to give it all to you. Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, in Luke chapter 4. And he also made a promise. He said, if I go, my heavenly Father will pour out the promise of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, into your life. Some of us need comforting. Amber was pregnant during Zika. Remember Zika? And if you were pregnant during Zika and you were bitten, there's a chance you'll get infected and your child will be born with a birth defect. That was the second one. Not the birth defect part, just the Zika time frame. God's anointing power. His covering. I had a friend of mine who had a positive diagnosis of in utero Zika. He did not believe in God, does not believe in God. And he says it was a false positive case of Zika. And I believe it was God who allowed that Zika to not have any effect on his child. Healthy child to this day. God is kind. So if someone just wants the anointing of God over something, you just make that prayer in your own life. If there's someone who says, Lord, I want to give my life to you fully and completely through baptism. I seek Bible studies and I want to work towards getting baptized and give my life completely over to you. I'm going to ask you to slip your hand in the air. We're going to pray over that commitment as well. While we're praying, if it's your desire, if you're moved while the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, then invite you to raise your hand so heaven can take note. There's something about the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't let anyone interfere with your time with God. We're praying, Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your mercy and for your love. We appreciate, dear Lord, your first month of the latter rain. We appreciate, dear God, the pouring out of your Holy Spirit and the anointing power, dear God, that breaks chains and removes, dear Lord, strongholds from our lives. We thank you so much for covering us, dear Lord, when we didn't deserve to be covered. When we ran away from you, dear God, and yet you still covered us, we thank you, Jesus. Dear Lord, I was young and now I'm old. And I've experienced your covering power, your anointing in my life. And dear God, it's not because of perfection. It's not because of living a right life or a holy life. It's just about surrender and submission, dear God, and letting you take over, dear Father, of all things. And even when we resist it, you still cover us. You are so good. So, dear Lord, your children are standing. We are all here, dear Lord, and we're asking for the covering power of your Holy Spirit. We need a fresh anointing, dear Lord. We need an anointing, dear Father, over home life. Marriages, dear Lord, that are represented here need anointing, dear Father. Parenting, dear Father, over some children, dear Lord, wayward, or even if they are here, dear Father, they are drifting. Even if they're not drifting, dear Lord, the devil's seeking to attack them. Dear Father, we need anointing over those parental situations right now. We need anointing over sibling relationships, dear God, please. There are siblings, dear Lord, that are wrestling with, dear Father, forgiveness. There are siblings, dear Lord, who are wrestling with, dear Lord, acceptance and feeling as though one was loved more than the other. Dear Lord, there's continual warring. Dear Father, anoint the situation, I beg you, that they may conceive new life in the midst of death and broken, dear Lord, and dry bones. Dear Lord, we're asking now that you will cause your anointing to fall upon our workplace. Some of us, dear Lord, are working with demonic spirits. Dear Lord, I'm praying for your power to move over those situations even now. Disrupt, dear Lord, the plan of the enemy. Allow us to walk in your anointing. May we know, dear Lord, that we are anointed, that we are set apart, not better, dear God, just protected. Dear Lord, I'm praying now for the church. Dear Lord, we ask for your anointing to fall upon this place. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17 says, and the Spirit and the bride. Meaning, dear Lord, that the church, the body of believers, are in unison, lock and step with the Holy Spirit. Allow us to be there, oh God. Please, I beg you. We need power today. We need your anointing presence. And dear Lord, we would be remiss if we didn't pray, dear Lord, for the family of the young lady, dear Lord, who was taken captive and appears to have been murdered, dear God. Lord, I'm begging you now to set your comforting anointing over the family. And dear Lord, I pray that the captors, dear Father, those who kidnapped her at gunpoint, I'm praying now for your anointing power to hover over, to move, to disrupt, disarm, and move them, dear Lord, where they need to be. For dear Lord, it's not just a dove. It's a dove for peace for your believers, for your children. And what's peace for us, dear Lord, is wartime for others. So dear God, I'm praying that you will allow us, dear God, to embrace the fact that vengeance is the Lord's and we ought to leave it all in your hands. Help us to recognize, dear Lord, no one fights better than you. Dear Father, we pray that you'll give us the covering and bestow the promise in our lives. We thank you, dear Lord, and we say now, dear Lord, and open ourselves up for the April showers. Pour into us, I beg you, that will bring forth and blossom, dear Lord, and have fruit in this tired, dear Lord, and dreary time. We thank you and we love you. In the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen and amen. God bless you.